Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday the 9th of February, and my name is Pete Donaldson. Lukey Moore. I watched a film.
Okay.
It was a very sad film.
Okay.
That's it. That's all you're getting. You've got to guess what it was. It wasn't Jurassic Park.
Park is a sad film. All the dinosaurs, you know, a lot of them perish.
A lot of them did perish.
Okay, so tell me the film's name.
It's got Moriarty from...
Oh, for fuck's sake. Why don't you just know the name of the film? You've watched it. It's just one thing to remember, the name of it.
And it's got Andrew, the vicar out of Fleabag. Andrew...
Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't know who he is.
Well, tell me who he is then.
Why don't you just tell me the name of the
Scott.
Film?
Andrew Scott.
Andrew Scott, yeah.
Andrew Scott. It's a film called Oliver Strangers. And I tell you what, I think I've got a type of film I really enjoy.
No, I could... Well, would you have a guess at the top of my thing that you really enjoy?
Yeah.
And then you can kind of put me right or tell me I'm right.
Okay.
The type of film you like is normally an indie film involving a kind of a beta male lead.
Oh.
Like a Michael Cera type character.
Oh, we're going beta males, are we? Right.
And a quirkily attractive female lead. And it's like an odd, do they, don't they get together type vibe. And they like sort of quite obscure indie music. And one of them wears checkerboard Vans. And... And they've gone on some kind of road trip, and that's it. And the only other films you like are really quite pervy sci-fi films.
It's hard not to agree with that, to be honest. But I like experiences that leave you absolutely breathless, absolutely winded, pornos. Big old porn parodies of TV shows. No, I like films that are just make you really sad. Really, really sad.
Right.
Eternal Sunshine.
That's similar to what I'm saying though, right?
Eternal Sunshine, film, very good example. Not the album, let's fuck up for Avengers Suicide. Films that are absolutely sad as fuck. And
I've never seen the Virgin Suicide.
You cannot clamber out. And also they have a great soundtrack as well, which all of those films I think I've named do have excellent soundtracks. But I watched that film on Saturday, and I said, Sarah, that is one of the saddest films I've ever watched. And she was like, I really liked it. I was like, I liked it. You can like something that absolutely leaves you...
Did it make you cry?
Completely. About as close as it would,
Do you not cry on films normally then?
Not really, no.
Because you remember when I told you that
I cried... It was too sad to cry. It was too sad to cry it.
The other month I cried at Good Will Hunting and you said because I was on a plane and it was the elevation.
It is, yeah, the elevation. I've cried to Deadpool 2. I cried when somebody died, when the wife dies in Deadpool or Deadpool 2, I forget which one it is, and that was elevation, and a not inconsequential amount of Bloody Marys.
Right, so on the plane thing, you know, it's not really the done thing to drink on a plane, right?
Yeah, but then what else are you going to bloody do? There's a lot of fucking hand-wringing. Actually, you'll feel better. I'm going to feel terrible anyway. I'm in coach. I feel bad.
Think of the one thing that could make Sarah, the part that you have access to, is experience of going to Japan with you worse, was the fact that you got really pissed and cried on the plane.
Yeah, I don't mind. That sounds
like
fine.
You're effectively a tour guide for her, though, right? Because you've been to Japan so often that she's never been.
Mm.
Would you say you took that job seriously?
I certainly steered him into some places that probably on reflection probably shouldn't have done. Just a lot of smoky bars, which is not really.
Is there
her
no smoking
vibe.
Bar in Japan?
No, everyone. That's why the car I've imported absolutely reeks of fucking tabs. Absolutely honks.
Right,
it's absolutely foul.
So what was the name of this movie that you watched?
All of Us Strangers. Very good. I cannot recommend it enough. About loss, really, I suppose. I can't really get any further than that. But, yeah, it's Andrew Scott's very good in it.
He's a really good actor. He's amazingly camp in the Sherlock vehicle with, what's his name? Benny Cumberbatch.
Right, okay.
He's really good. Have you seen that Sherlock?
Yes, I have. I think I have, yeah. I get it mixed up with Luther, to be honest.
I'm probably in the minority, but I don't think Luther's actually very good.
I've seen the film of it. I think Elba's record can be quite poor.
Right. I think you're full on. I think you're sponsoring.
He gets indulged way too much on his own projects as well.
Totally.
He get like Sky will go, Elba's interested. Yeah, we'll fund this. And it's like, well, this is a piece of shit. This is a massive piece of shit again.
He's incredibly good in The Wire.
Yeah,
and that is no unquestionable. You can't take that away from him. The Wire's got a thing where, because they were using at the time quite unknown actors, and because it was the type of project it was, you've got Idris Elba. He's obviously from London. You've got Dominic West, who's like a posh guy from the UK, and you've got some other people doing different accents. Just the way it was made, the production of it, spliced in with like real roadmen from Baltimore who weren't even necessarily actors, right?
Yeah,
and so. It really does. So, for example, I think the police chief in The Wire is actually a police chief, right?
Right. Okay.
So, and then he's working really closely with McNulty, played by Dominic West. And if you watch back the first couple of seasons of The Wire, you can really hear Dominic West slipping out of his accent. Like, it's really noticeable. But the Big Driss's accent as Stringer Bell is so solid that I genuinely didn't even know he wasn't American. Like it took me I only found out he wasn't American when years later. And so in that he is incredible. He's like untouchably good. He's rock solid. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the stuff he's done like since then, I don't even know if he's done anything that's actually that good. Like he's really cringe in Prometheus. Like, it's not very good in that at all. The Thor movies he's in were panned. He's in, like, Sonic the Hedgehog movies. He's in, like, his most recent movie is, like, Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Yeah. But a lot of his...
Luther, I think he's actually quite poor in Luther as well. I don't think Luther's actually that good.
Right. Yeah. I've not watched a lot of it. But I just think he does get given... Like, Sarah did a read-through for one of his projects, and it was like... He just like people make him DJ, and he just wants to kind of like he wants to do comedies and stuff, and he's just really not his vibe. He might be a bit of a nerd.
Someone,
and I'll knock his block off if he comes here again.
He'd punish you without even noticing.
It might be a real. What if I get a lucky hit? I just can't
see how that's going to manifest.
He's got like a lump that's about to pop, and I jiggle it, and it explodes. And he's got a reset button
like under his arm.
Yeah, exactly. And just reach up there, and or a cyst, a big Eleutherian cyst.
The only thing I can think of that he's been good in recently is there's a really sweet kind of, I guess it's kind of a children's thing, animated short called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse, and it's like a Christmas thing.
Okay.
And it came out a couple of Christmases ago on Apple TV. But I think it was syndicated across the BBC on the iPlayer and stuff. And I watched it on Christmas Day with my niece. And there's only, I think, 3 or 4 people in it. And obviously, it's animated, right? So it's voice acting. Tom Hollander is the mole. And Tom Hollander's amazing. Gabriel Byrne is the horse. And he's obviously amazing.
You never see Gabriel Byrne anymore. After Usual Suspects, he was like everywhere, wasn't he, for a bit?
And Big Driss plays the plays the I think he plays the fox,
right?
And he's and that's really good. But that's as much as I can go. I can't think of anything else. And then speaking of Big Gabriel Byrne, but he must be old now though.
Yeah, I would say that. I would agree.
I can't remember. I haven't seen him in anything for years and years. I mean, I assume it's just he's not doing that much work, but maybe he is. I don't know.
But that's your TV review for the week.
I haven't watched a movie in ages because I've simply got an 8-month-old son, and it's impossible.
Yeah,
it's just impossible.
So, what happens when they go to bed? You know, just get something, because you had a good record of getting telly in you at like opportune moments. Like if you had half an hour, you'd be like bang right in there.
When he was really young, I would stay up. We'd do it in shifts, and I would stay up till 3 a.m. And then I would sleep after that. And obviously the Wi-Fi of access to you would take over. Then I was watching all sorts of stuff. But the problem is, when you've got a 2-month-old, in my experience, you're so tired that you can't really concentrate on anything. So I ended up watching the whole series of Love Island just because it was on every night and I didn't need to concentrate on it.
Yeah. Why do little babies, like really small little babies, always look like they're running like self-diagnostic tests?
Yeah, they do.
Do you know what I mean? They're just they're always doing this.
Yeah.
Like just when Robocop takes off his mask.
Yeah, just working out what they're
moving
doing.
Their fingers and sort conjuring. It's fascinating. Absolutely. Just working the muscles. What they're up to. What are they up to in there?
Imagine if you just started doing that in public.
With his moustache. Hello.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Speaking of TV, Peter, I don't know if we've discussed this before, but are you a fan, or have you ever been a fan of Antiques Roadshow?
Yes, I very much, as much as anybody was, I think.
It's still on, mate. It's on every Sunday.
Yeah, but I mean, it fitted very much into my images of my nostalgic past with my like grandma and stuff. We'd sit down and we'd watch that, and she'd make these kind of like egg and tomato sandwiches and just endless tea. Like, you don't really feed kids caffeine anymore, do you? But like back then, so much tea. Every single weekend, we'd be absolutely hoovering up the tea.
It's a real working class thing for a kid to drink a cup of tea, I think.
Right.
I think I never really started drinking it till I was a bit older. I wasn't really that into it, but it was like all the kids on my street would drink tea all the time.
It just keep you up all night.
I remember my mate used to drink, his mum used to make him a cup of tea like every hour. And he used to live across the street from me. And I used to go over and knock him up to see if he wanted to go and play out in the street or whatever. And I think younger listeners listen to this will be like, this sounds like a different world. But genuinely, you used to just go around there. And we were really good friends with them. So the families knew each other really well. So I would just walk up the garden path, walk straight into the house. And his mum would always make him a cup of tea. And I always remember, if his mum had just made him one and he wanted to go out and play football in the street with me or whatever, he would take the cup of tea, pour like half of it down the sink, fill the rest of it up with just cold water from the tap, and then just neck it. Because for some reason, like, his mum was like virulent about him drinking the tea.
Right.
Like, I think she thought it had some kind of like healing property or something.
To be fair, I have been known to, if I'm out the door and I'm having a coffee, I will put a bit of cold water in it just to get it down me. And it's still not, and sometimes the cold water hasn't kind of like dispersed in the cup, so that the first gulp is manageable and the rest is absolutely red hot and it's in my belly and I'm like, ah!
Shit, yeah, right. I will come on to Antiques Roadshow in a minute, but just on that kind of nostalgia trip, I remember he also had this board game called Dare, which, I mean, I cannot stress to you enough how much that would not be around now.
Dare board game.
So basically, I think off the top of my head, what you had to do is like a board game.
Yes, it was a bit cartoonish, a bit naughty looking.
You'd answer questions, and then you'd get a chance to have a dare, do a dare or whatever. Yeah, looking at it now, it came out in 1988, apparently. But I mean, mate, some of the dares you used to get, I mean, bearing in mind it was essentially targeted at children. I can remember two of the dares, right? One of them was eat a tablespoon of butter.
That's all right.
I don't think you could be advising kids to be doing that these days.
Well, don't do it all the time.
Another one was eat a teaspoon of salt.
It's to weed out all the slugs in the...
It's a good dare. It's a good dare. Watching your mate do that when you're like 8 years old is amazing, but I don't think you should be doing it.
Oh, it sounds like there's 320 dare cards. Maybe we should get a copy of the board. It's still on sale, by the way.
I'd love our listeners to get in touch if they remember the board game Dare and the stories that came along with it, because it was full on. It was pretty brutal.
Do you remember there was I can't remember the name of the bloody game, but it was like it had a timer on it, and it was like, I think red, bright red. It was like a little sort of little table, and it had like loads of different shaped yellow pieces with handles on. And there was like probably about 25 of them on this thing. Right. And after a while, you had to remove them or move them around or something. And at the end, it would pop and they would throw all the pieces all over the gaff.
Oh, yeah. So it's like,
do you remember that?
It's like
Buckaroo a little bit.
Like Buckaroo or Pirate Pete or whatever, that kind of thing.
Papa Pirate, yeah.
Papa
Pirate. They would, I think there was a Papa Pirate, that came out. The Japanese really love Pop-Up Pirate for some reason, but there's a special one where you have to have, I think, double daggers. You got to have two daggers in before it'll pop. I think that's the case. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But the game that popped up, I met the person who, like, my partner knows somebody who knows somebody who was on the front cover as a child.
Cool.
So I met them at a party like ages ago, but that's pretty big, because I remember that it was like called Countdown or something, and it was and they were on the front cover as like a child model.
Speaking of that, right, that's just reminded me of something. So a guy I know, who, because the guy you're talking about there would have got paid for that, but it would have been given to his parents, and it would have been probably in the grand scheme of things quite a derisory sum, right?
Yeah.
So I know someone. He's actually a tailor now. And I was chatting to him there. He's a Savile Row tailor now. And I was chatting to him a few years ago, and he was saying that before he became a tailor, he was a aspiring model. Right.
Right.
Good looking guy. He's got that look, the big beard, the kind of hair, and that kind of thing that was really kind of popular about 10 years ago, 15 years ago. You know, the kind of old fashioned gentleman with the beard, but you're young and you've got great hair and stuff and tattoos on your hands, that kind of look, right? When he was an aspiring model, he got given a gig, which was basically posing for barbershops. So what they would do, this is agency, right, who would give him a nice haircut, perfectly fresh, take professional photos of him, pay him a few hundred quid, like a day rate or whatever. But in return for that money, he signs away the rights to the pics, right?
Yeah. That's
obviously
fair.
He had no fucking money, so he's like, I'm obviously going to do that.
Yeah.
He said now, like, he goes pretty much every town he goes to, he sees himself in the barbershop.
Yes.
Like he's been basically stiffed for so much money in perpetuity.
Who's paying
these
for
barbershops,
that?
But these barbershops just get a job lot of these photos.
Yeah, yeah.
And stick them up on the thing. And but I mean, if you think about image rights and stuff, though, that is a massive like piss take, because every high street's got a barbershop in it.
Yeah, but you got to think how much money, if you were a barbershop, instead of printing your own out, why would you buy, how much money are you going to realistically spend on some pictures of some dudes for your wall?
But I think it's just the prevalence of it, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm exactly the same. I stole one of those pictures from a barbershop in Leicester, and that was very much the centrepiece of our student house back in the day.
Not quite the same, but I still see
the same man. He looks like very like 1980s kind of you gotta have faith, George Michael era kind of bloke. And he you see him in every Turkish bar, and it takes me back to my student house, because I just remember I saw that guy, and he was above the bin, and he was basically where we'd throw our tea bags, so he was just covered in tea bags.
That's what he would have wanted.
That's what he would have wanted.
The biggest piss take of example of what we're talking about there is that famous poster, isn't it? The infant. I think it's l'enfant in French, like the infant.
Right.
And it's a really handsome male model with his top off and a pair of jeans holding a baby.
Holding a baby, yeah.
They look at each other. And I was just reading about it, and apparently in 1986 it was made. And it was for 20-odd years regularly voted, along with, I think, the famous photo of Che Guevara and the tennis girl poster with the girl with her skirt up. Remember that thing?
Yes,
it was, one of the three most iconic images of the 80s. And the model in it was a guy called Adam Perry, and they used three different babies to do the shoot. It took an afternoon, and he got paid £100 flat fee.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, the Antiques Roadshow thing, I was just going to say to you, as from one middle-aged man to another, I was watching Antiques Roadshow on Sunday when I was feeding my son before putting him to bed.
Yeah.
And
topless?
I wasn't topless.
No.
Thanks to everyone listening to this, mentally picturing this scene, I'd had a t-shirt on.
Good.
And I watched it's a really interesting story about this carriage clock that had been presented to someone as a bravery award back in like the 1800s or something. And but it wasn't worth anything. And I was like, that's a real fucking letdown, because I'm an absolute basic bitch when it comes to Antiques Roadshow. I want the high value items.
Yeah.
And so I Googled the most expensive finds ever on Antiques Roadshow. And there's like a little YouTube thing accompanying the story.
Right.
Because obviously the BBC have probably just cribbed them all and put them on YouTube. It is a fucking exciting watch. It's so good.
But they're all like about a million, aren't they?
The payoff of the crowd standing around, the sharp intake of breath, the gasp, the idea that they're directly witnessing history right there, right now, is a really compelling watch. There's one of a Fabergé flower,
right,
which is bespoke, only made for that one time. Perfect condition with the box. It was presented to a army regiment in recognition for their, I think, for their efforts in the First World War.
Yeah.
Was presented to one of the experts in 2017, and he valued it at £1.1 million.
I think when you see those, you can tell something seriously expensive, because it's just daintier. It looks like unlike anything you've seen on the Antiques Roadshow before. It just looks smaller and daintier and better made. And there's just something about really expensive stuff that does set itself apart from the usual stuff that's like 20 grand. I do believe that.
But you reckon you could tell?
I reckon.
I don't think I can tell.
I reckon you should find a load of like priceless artifacts, and I'll price them up.
The most expensive. That'd be brilliant. I don't have any priceless artifacts, but that would be good. the most expensive one on the American version of the show was a guy brought in a gold pocket watch by Patek Philippe, obviously a famous watchmaker, and it was given to his granddad in 1914.
Right,
and it was handmade, and it was a particularly interesting piece, one-off piece, and it had the original box and warranty and all that kind of stuff. And he had taken it to an appraiser who had valued it for him at $6,000, so he insured it for that money. Then the Antiques Roadshow expert then said, that guy's talking absolute shit, this is like $250,000, right? which he then kind of went mental about, of course, he decided to put it up for auction, and at Sotheby's it fetched 1.5 million.
Whoa, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's like, the most valuable item ever on the show.
So they were both wrong then. He's experts. Yeah,
but I think, isn't auctioneering quite tricky though? Because if you've got two or three collectors who really want something, it can massively inflate the value, right?
Yeah.
I mean, on a different day, it might have gone for a totally different amount.
I just think that, like, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not a man who gets involved. Like Mark Haynes on WrestleMe, he spends a lot of his time on like eBay and stuff, and he settles it in his mind. He'll not happily, but he will resentfully spend like 600 quid on like a job lot of old wrestling posters from like the 70s and stuff. And I'm not sure he's ever going to get his money back because he won't ever sell them.
Well, Adam Jarrell from The Offensive Boom and Jackie the Ripper, he has got a genuine side hustle where he's a wrestling figures expert.
Yes, yeah.
And he'll buy them up from car boot sales and sell them online for good money. So he'll find them for a couple of quid and they'll sell them. Some of them are worth like hundreds.
I was in an antiques fair at the weekend, and there was a little character, a little figure, wrestling figure, and I was telling Sarah, saying in this bit that there's like a wrestling figure and he's wearing a t-shirt that says APA, and he was a member of the APA. I can't actually remember what the collection of wrestlers were, but the t-shirts that they sold on the website and stuff was APA, always pounding ass. And it wasn't a popular shirt that they sold, but I was basically saying, yeah, see this guy here, like,
it means
they were
one
selling,
thing, but it very much means another.
Exactly, they were selling a t-shirt saying always pounding ass, and as I said ass, somebody just came in the room and I was like,
so much of that kind of, like, I don't know, 80s and 90s American macho culture is so gay.
Yeah, because it is. Yeah, because it is.
It's really like, there's so many like homoerotic undertones to it. We talked about this before because we end up talking about not Tom from Finland for ages, and you said wasn't he from Norway? Anyway, I just wanted to bring the Antiques Roadshow chat into the mix because it is a fantastic kind of area, I think. There was also a guy who had a load of one-off beautifully made cups that he'd bought. I think he'd bought them in Africa or maybe China. Hundreds of years ago they were from. And at the time they were valued at loads of money, like tens, possibly hundreds of thousands. And they said, oh, I'm never going to sell them. I'm never going to sell them. And then this website that follows all these Antiques Roadshow kind of finds did an update saying that, by the way, this guy's going to regret not selling that shit because they were all made from rhino horn. And there's absolutely no trade for that left anymore. Like no one will buy them. Like you can't get anyone to put up with money for it because it's basically illegal. So they're basically now worthless. So it just goes to show you there are a certain amount of circumstances involved with what the valuation of something is, you know?
Yeah, indeed. Well,
anyway,
let's get out of here.
Anyway.
We didn't do an ad break, but Rory, just find a place for it.
Just
drop it in there, mate. It's absolutely fine.
We've really hit on a rich scene, by the way, Peter, because we've got loads of vasectomy emails again.
Yes, good stuff.
But we'll have to do them next time.
We've given the emails a snip until next time.
We have. We've tied them off. We'll reverse the procedure ahead of next episode.
If you've ever sold something for a surprising amount of money, do let us know. Hello at lukepeachshow.com. We'll be back on Thursday. Get your Bratty Brands in. Say goodbye, Lukey Mill.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me too.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.